listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 1st, the first day of May. Hummingbirds should be arriving any time now. Trust me, they're going to be coming through. Thank you for this new day where we can launch into prayer. We can launch into some fun stories where we can share various things. So, Jason, let me ask you, do you want me to have the fun announcements first or some of the things on prayer? Because I'm pretty excited about the National Day of Prayer being
tomorrow. I'll do the fun announcements. Do your announcements.
Okay, I want you to tell me about monkey butts and shooting arrows.
Great, yes. Great, great. Well, I had a day off on Monday's normally my day off, but there's some things that are really on my heart I want to get done. And so I got up with a pretty, I wouldn't say daunting, but it was quite a to-do list of things that I wanted to get done on Monday. And Tasha got up to go and do some errands, and I was sitting there getting ready to go, and I sat down and started watching a little TV, and then I started losing interest in my to-do list. But I thought I ought to do something. And I've been dabbling in archery. I just enjoy it. I enjoy the skill. It's kind of just me and the bow and the arrow, and I've got to hit something. And, you know, so there's some skill involved in that, and I don't know. So I thought, well, I'd go shoot some arrows. So, but I don't really have anywhere to shoot arrows at. But we do have these bags of clothes that are in storage in our garage.
And we also learned a lesson some months back where you were shooting the arrows indoors, and that is no longer
allowed. Oh, well, that was
allowed
on Christmas. That was on Christmas when we were testing out Jacob's little bow and arrow that he got, and I accidentally shot my other daughter's brand new car seat with the arrow. It was still in the box, though, so no damage to it, but it did kind of, when you shoot your kids' Christmas presents with an arrow, it kind of ruins Christmas morning. So I learned that lesson, and then yesterday, of course, I learned from my wife that I'm not allowed to shoot the clothes that are in storage in the garage, even though they may be a good target. So because of that one lesson I learned, last night after dinner, we went to Farm and Fleet to go pick up a proper target that I can shoot at properly. My wife used the word properly a few times for me as she was critiquing my arrow shooting ability. She goes, you shoot a good arrow just at the wrong things.
Yes.
So we went, we got a target there, but Farm and Fleet for us as a family is always kind of a little adventure because there's so much going on at Farm and Fleet. So, and my 7-year-old son really got a kick out of the redneck t-shirts. They had a whole collection of them on the wall. They looked like they changed out where it was normally flannel shirts into redneck kind of t-shirts. You know, you're a redneck if you do this, this, or this. He thought those were the greatest thing ever to read. If he hopefully doesn't give any of that back today at school, because it'll be a lot of trouble. But right where the targets were, there was this powder. We'd never seen it before, called monkey butt.
Yeah.
And it's like an anti-friction powder or something like that. So a 7-year-old boy, he sees that, and he's like, ho, ho, ho.
And they show a monkey with a little red
mirror. Yeah, with a red butt. So you got a 7-year-old boy going, ho, ho, monkey butt. And then there was lady monkey butt right next to it. He's like, ho, ho, lady monkey butt. And then right away, Mom, do you ever get monkey butt? And so it was kind of a...
And I think you had on your Facebook posting on Monday a picture of Tasha holding her...
Well, right away. I mean, whenever we see something that's just crazy, right away, hold that. And then we take a picture, you know. And so I took a picture and posted it on Facebook with her. And her, I think her mom responded back, like, I don't even know what to think about this.
Yeah. I posted, I think she needs a timeout.
Yeah.
So if you befriend Jason Schiffo, I don't know what... Facebook, is it Pastor Jason Schiffo? Jason Schiffo,
Jason.
S-C-H-I-F-O. You can see some of those fun photographs of the family.
Yeah, and do me a favor. Don't take it seriously. When we post this stuff, it's not serious. We're really laughing at ourselves. I mean, when she held up the monkey butt, my wife does not care that those things, because somebody said to me, they said, oh, no, you know, I mean, you know, don't post that stuff about your wife. And I'm like, she's laughing along with me. She thinks these things are so funny,
yeah.
You know, that... And so we're just sharing our crazy life because it's real. I mean, it's just real life. So, yeah, that was that. So arrows, and I learned a good lesson about arrows, and then God entertained us along the way.
Hey, in yesterday's News Gazette, I don't know, maybe you can help me think this through, but we would accept a $60 million donation to call the studio after your last name. Got any ideas on...
This would be wonderful to be the State Farm Studio.
Yeah, this... we are offering for $60 million if you would like to name the studio after yourself or a loved one. But that's
hey, look,
pretty incredible.
$60 million, I mean, I think you'd probably do it for $60.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I do at some point. I haven't shared this for a long time. It's something I prayed for many years ago and have some legal pads of notes on it. I always envisioned something like a Great News Radio Event Center where you could hold and host like 600, 800 people, a big conference center where you could even have like a restaurant in it, like a Panera's or Atlanta Bread Company, where people could come together with some couches and you could have like sandwiches and you could have like a fountain there and a room where you could have Christian resources, like a Christian library where you could take maybe your unchurched friend and say, hey, let's go over to the Great News Radio Events Center and have lunch, and they have a really neat bookstore or Christian art displayed, and you could have this multi-purpose facility where maybe the state Christian schools volleyball championship or some guest speaker comes in and you could host it there, not to compete with like a church or something else, but it would be a more neutral location.
Sure.
And, but, you know, that I've always felt would be like a $6 or $7 endeavor. And then you have all the costs affiliated with plowing and air conditioning, mm-hmm. and it'd have to be self-sustaining. And, you know, but that's one of those things that I've always kind of envisioned, that if God ever raised up an enormous amount of resources, that would be something that, okay, Lord, it seems like you're moving. But anyways,
yeah.
But isn't that interesting? State Farm, $60 million. I guess the Assembly Hall is going to, or now it's called the State Farm Center, is going to get air conditioning, which will allow for other events during the summer. Mm-hmm. And so that was just kind of an interesting story in yesterday's News Gazette. But wow.
So if anybody has $6, send it in to Mark, and this can become your, it can be named after you.
Yeah. Well, we did when we raised funds.
You're easy. They could just make you some brownies.
Yeah, that's called. Right. We'll start naming everything in the studio. Well, actually, many years ago when we raised funds for our transmitters, we got brand new transmitters for 102.5 FM and our 89.3 FM at the same time. We got this great package deal. We went in with another station, and they took off like $8,000 or $10,000 total. But somebody named it the Proclaimer, and they sent in a little name plaque that we attached to the transmitter, and it's called the Proclaimer. I thought that was very unique.
Yeah.
And we had a contest once where we were naming the PT Cruiser, the Great News Radio PT Cruiser, some years ago. And
we have a stapler over there, and you have a tape dispenser.
Yeah, I have a little mouse we can name. So if you want to name something, and certainly you have a few million dollars, hey, if it's God honoring and it just has to have your name attached to it, no problem. We'll work something out. But I'll have to race out to Farm and Fleet and get my can of monkey butt powder. Do you know what it's even for?
It's just an anti-friction. I think it's for. I think it's for like the hunting thing, like where you don't wash, like the hunters don't wash like they normally would because they want to smell more like nature. And so I think it's just kind of
because they're sitting there at that deer stand for so many hours.
I don't know. I've never had monkey butt. I don't know what it is.
Well, for a little 7 or 8 year old, just saying the words, a fun word.
Oh my gosh, he loved it, and every aisle was a new adventure, and it was just like, you know, only a 7 year old could find humor in all that.
Yeah. Hey, tomorrow's the National Day of Prayer, and I know on Monday's program I shared a little of this book that you loaned me initially, and then I had to get my own copy, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. It's published by Living Ink Books, and it looks like it was published in 2008. I have a first edition copy here, or at least the first printing. And this book, I'm only still about 30 or 40 pages into it, but some of the things I'm going to share tomorrow at the National Day of Prayer Breakfast in Rantoul are getting gleaned from this. And your copy, I saw you had underlined a number of things and highlighted and bracketed and asterisked, and that's the same as mine. You can see these post-it notes and things I've underlined. But I think, as you and I have talked, that this will have a transformational impact on me, just as I understand prayer a little more specifically through different people that he quotes and practices that others have had, and just what I have found in my own prayer life, that I believe each and every time I do pray that I connect with God, that I'm a forever different person that next hour, those next minutes, especially if I feel God has spoken to me or impressed on my heart certain scriptures or thoughts or concepts, that's like, thank you, God, for that. And this book on prayer, I just can't wait to get through it so I can start reading it again. And I appreciate you recommending it to me. Where did you first get it or start reading it?
it was suggested reading for a course that I took in college. And when I got it, I thought, oh, my gosh, a lead. You know, I'm really, honestly, pretty anti-leadership books because I go, I mean, every one of them, it's like a buffet. There's different leadership styles, all different kinds of things. And so when I read the title, Prayer, Timeless Seeker for High Impact Leaders, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I mean, is this the Christian version of, you know, whatever? And I started to read it just because I had to, and I said, oh, my gosh, I mean, this is really a great book about how a leader needs to be a prayer warrior, needs to be surrounded by prayer warriors, needs to, and through that, they look through the lens of a lot of great Christian leaders, Wesley and those, saying, look at how they viewed prayer, and a lot of things that I didn't even know. I mean, pretty shocking was Wesley's view on Judaism, because a lot of people would say, I wouldn't make a connection between Wesley and a deep love for Judaism, but it shows in this book that Wesley kept the Sabbath, that Wesley modeled a lot of his prayer life after the synagogue prayers and the ways that the Jews would go and pray, that had a deep impact on him. And so sometimes I think that we look at so much of what a leader is. You know, if we look across the spectrum at great Christian leaders, and I bet you, that one of the things you don't appreciate about them, or probably don't even interact about them, or don't even really think about, is their prayer lives, how they prayed and what they did when they prayed. We think about their theology and their preaching and their presence and their proclamation, but do we ever really think about their prayers? Do you think about the prayer lives of Martin Luther or John Calvin or even Billy Graham? And Billy Graham, well known for his evangelism and that, but I think even more so, the things I've read about Billy Graham, more known about his prayer rather than his proclamation. But his proclamation is one of the things we know best. Mm-hmm. And so in an age, you know, where Christian authors are a dime a dozen and there's so many books on how to this, how to that, how to this, do we ever really interact with prayer? And so I think it is, as the book title says, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders. Because if we really survey that landscape, it's the prayers of the faith. Even just in this conversation we had prior to the show this morning, you know, just the impact that prayer has had in this radio ministry, the prayers you can't even chart. I think I shared at the Merge Gospel something that I've done as a practice recently, not well, but it's a work in progress, is that I always keep a running journal of things that God does in my life. You know, what has God done and how has God showed up? Because we have a tendency to forget, as the hymn writer says, to wander and to stray. Mm-hmm. We tend to do that. So I started making sure I would always catch these things. And, you know, if something came across the table that was just crazy, God had done something through somebody, you know, I take pictures of checks people had written or gifts people had given. I save all this stuff in these notebooks and it goes into file folders so that I can pull them out to remember what God did. Well, I started thinking about writing down the names of all the people that I could figure out who were connected to this thing. You know, maybe people that this
like
person...
Like an answered prayer or something.
Yeah, well, sort of like almost like a genealogy or a family tree, but the tree is this fulfilled moment where God did something in my life. God blessed me somehow. And I like the idea of the tree. In fact, I think when I looked the other day in one of my journals, I drew a tree. And I like the idea of the tree because when we look at the two facets of the tree, we have roots that reach down, which would be all the people who were tied to this one moment, but then out of the trunk of the tree, which is the blessing, comes the branches. And the branches are then my responsibility with what I do with the blessing. How do I share the blessing? Whenever anybody, and I don't say this, I always want to be careful. I don't say this from an egotistical standpoint. I don't say this to say, look at Jason, look at what Jason and Tasha do. Do the, you know, but when anybody blesses us, we immediately look to how we can bless other people. There have been people at different times in our lives who have given us money or they've given us gift cards or they've given us different things. And we I'm telling you what, we immediately share those things. I mean, I still, there's somebody who gave me a couple gift cards and I still carry them around in my wallet that I haven't used. And just recently, last week I think it was, there was somebody who God just spoke to my heart and I said, go and enjoy a dinner with your family. And because I think that the blessing is not just for me, it's for many. When I've been blessed, it's so that I can bless others. The rabbis would say that any blessing that you keep just for you and do not scatter to others, that's when a blessing becomes a curse. And so, you know, we have to look at what's connected to that. So there's one blessing that happened in our life there's 25 people attached to that I can find. And I have a short view on that. So God has probably used way more than 25 people in that answered prayer. and in that answered moment, and how many people around us, too. That 25 doesn't include the people that I know who are our prayer warriors, who are probably praying for us and through us. It's interesting because when we started talking about this prayer this morning, one of the chapters I really like in the book is it says, train others to pray for you, which means that as a leader, you're going to need people to pray for you. You're going to need to have people who are there. And way back in Genesis chapter 24, it says, 24 and verse 10, it says, then the servant left, taking him 10 of his master's camels loaded with all kinds of goods from his master. He set out for Aram and Naamara and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women go out to draw water. This is the servant, okay? Then he prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and to show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the town people are coming to draw water. This amazing moment where Abraham's servant, Abraham would be considered the leader, Abraham's servant goes to the well, and what does he do? He prays for his master. He says, Lord, make me successful today in the things that I am doing, and also do it so that I might show loving kindness to my master, that I might go and show loving kindness to this person. And it's a great picture for other people praying for us. You know, that it's not just about doing a job, but it's about the heart that you do that job with, so that I might show loving kindness. I mean, when I come here to do the radio program, I don't come to the radio program thinking like, you know, Lord, bless me and give me great words just to say here. You know, I think our prayers are always and consistently, Lord, how will this word go forth and change lives? Mm-hmm. You know, and Lord, we don't even know what that means, but you're going to do something amazing that we can't even qualify, and we're just going to stand and pray. You know, and so I think as leaders, I think that we miss that one. I mean, how many – look, I sit down with pastors all the time. I got pastor friends. I spent a year and a half as a missionary serving pastors. Consistent conversation. And I'm a pastor, so when I say this, I'm being transparent. I'm not trying to point the finger because I've caught myself doing this many times. Sit down. This is a consistent thing. Sit down with pastors. Hey, how you doing? Good. What are you preaching on? This, that, this. Oh, cool. How's the church doing? Oh, man, well, you know, it's about 150 every week, 200 every week, 250 every week. Oh, cool, cool. What are you doing to drive that number? Oh, well, we're X, Y, Z. Never, not never, rarely does any pastor sit down or I sit down with any pastor and the first conversation is, how's your prayer life? Tell me about the last prayer that was answered in your life. Tell me about how God has been moved to intercede by people around you who are praying. Tell me who you're praying for. Tell me that. I mean, this is the spiritual leader of the church, and I'm telling you what, I fail at this too. How are we praying? Because that should be the first conversation that we have, is prayer. Because the first conversation we have with our boss, God, should be the first conversation we have with each other. How's your prayer life doing? Because prayer matters that much. I mean, doesn't the scripture say prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Mm-hmm. Ooh, the King James crowd's going to love me on that one. I remember learning that one when I was young. Straight from the KGV. You know, when I was young, I used to not say KGV. I went to a church that used the King James, obviously. But I never could get that right. And I didn't come from a highly churched family, so it wasn't like I was at home and we were like, and the Honorable King James has proclaimed to the masses. So I used to call it the KGB. And it wasn't until I got a little older that I realized KGB was a subversive government organization, not the Bible. But I used to call it that all the time. I used to say, oh, I need to get my KGB. So... But it is, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and so we ought to be praying more and more often. And once again, I mean, thank you, Jesus, that Romans 8:26 says that when we don't know how we ought to pray, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings, that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus himself prays for us when we don't know how to pray, that Jesus says, you're going to forget to pray, and don't worry, because I'm always praying for you.
Yeah, and I want to go back to your earlier illustration, because I was thinking of something. You talked about the tree and roots going down, and then obviously above the ground, the trunk and the branches. And I was thinking, what came to my mind is those roots underground are those people behind the scenes, people that are praying up. And I told you before our broadcast that in my inadequacy of praying effectively, now I pray every day and I involve God, hopefully, in many, many decisions and things. But after reading a portion of this book, I'm like, I'm inept when it comes to really being skilled at praying or taking a position of consistently involving God in everything. And I thought, and I told you this, in spite of me or my lack of prayer, thank you, God, for all the saints, all the people that have been praying for this ministry, because I believe I've been riding on the crest of many of their prayers.
Sure.
And many of the answers that I've seen or have been fortunate to witness over these many years are the results of many people that pray. And I thank God for the senior saints that have taken prayer seriously for so many years, mm-hmm. and daily pray for this radio, yeah. ministry, for the decisions we make, for the hosts. Maybe for you and I personally, for all the things that go on, and financially support us, certainly, and pray for that support to come in. And I just thank God for the concept of prayer, that we can communicate with Him, that He delights in hearing from us. He's all sovereign, all loving, all caring, all righteous, and yet, however it is, He delights in hearing our words and us having that open dialogue, that communication with
Him.
Yeah,
there was a story when we were missionaries. You know, we were serving churches and going in and ministering to churches. We were living in a parsonage that belonged to a church. Their pastor had left the church, and they had an interim pastor, but they had nobody living in this parsonage. So we came in and did a lot of painting, helped them get it back in shape so when the new pastor would come, it would be there. But loosely, we had agreed that we were able to live there for 6 months. And the rent was totally what we needed. But we were missionaries, and so it was great. But they hired a pastor, and it kind of came from left field. And they called us one day, and they said, and this is like at the worst time. This is like New Year's Eve. They called us on New Year's Eve. Snow is blowing everywhere. This was 2 or 3 years ago, and we had that huge blizzard. And they said, you have 60 days to leave. You have to be out in 60 days. We have a new pastor. It wasn't really our doing. It came from above at the district superintendent, blah, blah, blah. And we were like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? And we were like that moment where we were gripped by fear, like, what are we going to do? And I remember my wife, this is why I want to tell you that as spiritual leaders, it's okay to understand this, that sometimes you will fail. Jesus said that. That's why He said He prays for you. So there was this moment where my wife stepped forward and she goes, for 30 days, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to pray. We're not even going to look at a house. We're not even going to look for a place to live. I said, oh, my gosh. Okay, we'll do it. The 29th day, somebody called and said, well, we have a house you could stay in. We've moved, and this house is just sitting empty, and we need somebody to stay in this house to take care of it. We know that's what you've done there. We need somebody to do it here. So I told Tasha, well, give me the address, because when somebody offers me something like that, I think, okay, well, I'm going to pull up to the trailer home. I have, like, three kids. I mean, where am I supposed to put them? Do you have, like, triple bunk beds? What's going on? We pulled up, and I remember with tears in my eyes, this house, the house we were in was like 1,500 square feet. This house was 6,000 square. I mean, as I'm going down the street, the houses are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm thinking, I'm lost. I'm not in the right spot. And I pull out, I look at this house, and I start getting tears in my eyes. And I called my wife, and the next person I called was one of our best friends who's one of our prayer warriors. You know what she told me? She said, yep, our group's been praying that you would get bigger.
Hmm.
And so it's God hears that. And those people were praying for us. And I didn't even know they were praying that. But God heard, God saw, God did. And God goes, you know that little one? I got a big one.
Yeah. Abundantly above and beyond what we can ever imagine or dream. We serve a great God. Please pray for us, for this radio ministry, for God to do a work in all of our lives. If you have a chance to wake up early tomorrow, I'll be praying about that. There's a National Day of Prayer gathering in Rantoul. I have the great privilege of being able to share some thoughts on prayer and to pray with you. And so it begins at 6 a.m. The doors open. The program 6:30 to 7:30. And it's at the Linden, which is right on the Air Force Base in Rantoul.
I'm praying they have bacon.
Yeah. 224 Wheat Avenue in Rantoul. There is a $7 cost. For more information, you can call the Christian Life Church at 217-892-8620 or St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church at 217-568-7196. This is the National Day of Prayer, Prayer in Action, Prayer Breakfast at the Linden in Rantoul on the old Air Force Base. And I'm sure in the days ahead, Jason, as we talk more about prayer, we'll reference this book. I highly recommend it, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. And all of you are leaders. All of you are influencers. You don't have to be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company or overseeing 50 or 100 people. Those of you moms that lead your children and those of you that lead in friendships, all of us have leadership aspects and can be influencers. And so I highly recommend this book, and hopefully in the days ahead. I was thinking maybe we could even interview Dave, even though he's written this about 5 or 6 years ago. But great book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. Let me also mention, this Friday, we're launching into the Book of Acts. So on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, Jason and I will launch into the Book of Acts. So join us this Friday at the same time. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.